Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to the Cave Show. Happy Thursday to you, Cigars with the Cave Show. You know how we roll on a Thursday. What is going on with everyone? Just because we're not live at Maduro's does not mean we are not live and ready to roll. It is Thursday, the 14th of January. And we are ready to bring it to you today. We have a lot of stuff to get into this day. Coming up on the show today, the one, the only, Ed Cole. He's going to be hanging out with me today. You know how we do it on a Thursday. We have some NFL playoffs to break down, talk about Urban Meyer, talk about the Harden deal. I have some sound from the Bears, cross between sad and a cross between mad at the world. I don't know exactly which one I am right now, but we'll get into that. I have some ASU to talk about. We're going to push that to tomorrow because don't quite have all the sound I want to use yet. I have some sound from Devin Booker talking about Chris Paul talking about him. I want to play that for you before the show is over. And then, of course, we have our NFL picks. No one does it better than we do right here on the Cave Show with PLR, with the main man, Ed Cole. Let's get this bad boy rolling. Like I said, every Thursday at Cigars with the Cave Show, usually we are live at Maduro's. Fine Cigar and Tobacco, we're not there today, but they are still the sponsor that's bringing the show to you today. Get down there and check them out, 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School in Chatham Heights, locally in Arizona. Let them know that PLR sent you. They will tune you up with 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can also go to Stogie World if you can't get down there, stogieworld.com. Order your sticks. Order them early enough in the day. They'll come the same day. Same great selection as if you go in. But if you go in, become a club member, get your access to the member lounge, you get a locker, access to refrigerator, microwave, ice maker, everything that you would have at home because it is your home away from home. So go down there and check it out. If you don't become a club member, don't worry about it. Still a bunch of televisions for you to watch comfortably. Sit down and check everything out. All this happens at Maduro's. Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And be sure to let them know that PLR sent you. Call-in number is 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. That is the Kerry Lackey Law Line. My man is hanging out on there right now. The one and only former digital media director for the Washington football team, as well as he is on Inside Sports and a sports personality in the Phoenix area. We also have a caller on. Let's bring Ed on and we'll get to the caller. My brother, what's going on with you today?
What's up, PLR? How you doing, bro?
How are you, sir? What's going on?
Happy Thursday to you, buddy. Everything's
all
good, man.
It's Friday Eve. It is Friday
Eve. Yes, it is. You know what happens on Friday Eve?
Oh, it's the day that we do the picks.
Yeah, buddy.
Got a caller on hold. Let's bring him on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. You're on with PLR and Ed.
Hey, PLR. Ed, how are you?
Good afternoon, Lou.
All right, good.
How you doing, buddy?
After months of this soap opera that went on with James Harden, he finally got his trade, and he's going over to Brooklyn. Now, I, for one, I kind of have mixed feelings about it. I mean, I won't give out he's a good player, but, you know, given the fact that he's not in the best health and whatnot, and the Nets are a bit of a mess right now. I don't know if it's actually, you know, the best trade, you know, possible. I mean, you know, the media was hyping him as like, oh, it's a possibility of a super team forming. I don't know. I think it's a little bit overhyped, to be honest with you.
Hey, I'll let you go first.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. Sean Marks came out and said that he believes that that the big three can work it out and work together. Once Harden gets to New York, he's supposed to get there sometime today. Once he gets through his physical, he gets through that, then I guess he can go ahead and kind of get up with the team and start getting this thing together. But we want to know what the mindset of his other two partners, Kyrie Irving, because we know he's been AOL. He's been just missing in action outside of a Zoom call that he was on prior to him supposed to be working a Nets game that night. He was supposed to be at work, but he's on a Zoom call, so we don't know what his mindset is like, even with James Harden there. And I texted Paul earlier today, and I was like, well, do you think if Pop would have been the head coach, or Eric Spoelstra would have been the head coach, or Brad Stevens, or any other well-established head coach, if they would have been the head coach for the Brooklyn Nets, do you think he would have pulled that stunt that he's been pulling right now? And Paul kind of believes
that he
still probably would have. You don't think he would? I don't think he would have either.
I think Kyrie.
Yeah.
I honestly do. If Kyrie played with one of the best players to ever play the game, and Kyrie was still Kyrie. See, here's the thing about Kyrie Irving. I don't think what you get from Kyrie is fake. I think this is who Kyrie is. I think he's just a different dude. And things that may go over our heads, or maybe we say, you know what, we're going to focus on this. This is what we do. This is our profession. I think there's – you know what, I was just talking to someone the other day that actually played that played football at a high level. And what I said to them, we were talking about contracts and salary and how – NFL players seem to go broke faster than NBA players, even though NFL players know their contracts aren't guaranteed. So you would think they would be more frugal with their money, knowing that it probably won't last as long. And what I said was, a lot of people, what they do becomes who they are. So when they're done doing it, they don't know what to do. Sometimes they get depressed. Sometimes they spend money because they think it'll keep coming in. So sometimes if you're a football, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever, sometimes guys forget who they are because they become what they do. I think Kyrie Irving is completely different. I think Kyrie has a feeling in his mind or a genuine sense in his mind who he is, and basketball is just what he does. And so even though he loves what he does, in his mind, it doesn't occupy the space of who he is first. And so sometimes when things happen in the world where other athletes or other bankers or other, you know, exterminators, they'll say, well, the hell with that. I'm going to go out here and do this. I think Kyrie says, wait a second. No, my mind isn't going to wrap around playing basketball tonight. My mind is going to wrap around how can I impact some of these other things. Now, to the average person, they think, well, this dude makes too much money just to feel that way. Why is he not just playing ball? That's just because that's not who he is. And I think that's an expectation that we're so used to with athletes, saying, forget all the distractions, get on that field or on that court or on the pitch. I don't think Kyrie is wrapped like that. So I don't care who the coach is. I think he's going to be who he is.
Yeah, I mean, Kyrie's in a world of his own, though, right now.
So, but when he comes back, and then the other thing is, listen, we have games being suspended left and postponed, left and right now.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, when it rolls around, he'll be ready to play, because what we're not talking about, you know, some dude on the end of the bench. We're talking about one of the most gifted NBA players to ever play this game. And so I don't have a doubt he's going to be ready to go. My only thing would be, I hope he gets his arms around what he needs to, so he can get back in, so he can provide the chemistry that his team will need and adding another high-level player.
Well, hopefully this getting James Harden there will kind of hopefully wake him up and get him refocused on the game of basketball, and hopefully he can get his if he lost the love for the game, and hopefully having James there and knowing he's got a potential monster of a team there now that James is there, hopefully that can reignite his fire and his passion and his desire to play basketball.
See, and you know what, Ed? I don't think his passion has ever left. I think it's the same.
You don't think so?
I just think when he was with Cleveland and they won a title his second year there, there wasn't racial strife protest happening. There wasn't militant people storming the Pentagon. And I'm saying these issues, the issues that caused this weren't there, but it wasn't as front and center. So I don't think that he had those other things on his mind as much because it wasn't slapping us in the face as much. Look, we can, and I know we're coming close to break, but we could use the same thing kind of with a Colin Kaepernick when we could say, you know what, there was something that happened in his mind that made him want to make a stand for something. But I'm sure the other year, two, three, four, five that he was playing before, there was still something on his mind, but it reached a point where football wasn't the driving force as much as having his voice heard. I think with Kyrie, it's the same thing. I think now it's just more visible. So I wouldn't say that he doesn't have the love. I just think that he has more on his mind than just basketball. And that's why I keep saying over and over, I know it sounds redundant, but he's a different dude. He's not that guy that just says, I can ignore this, I'm going to play. Look, George Hill is playing, but his mind is saying a whole bunch of stuff too. You know, his mind is a lot – he's a different type of dude as well. He's a little bit – now,
yes,
he doesn't have the platform – because of he's not a superstar like a Kyrie or like a LeBron, but George Hill is a very thoughtful cat, and he says a whole lot of stuff a whole lot of times, and if he had that skill set and had that cachet that those two players have, believe me, we would hear that a lot more because it would be on SportsCenter and Fox One and NBC and CBS, and it'll be played over and over. But we don't hear that because of his level in the NBA, not because he's not saying it.
Very true.
So I think that has a lot to do with it. But we're actually 45 seconds away. Lou, what else you got for me, my man? Oh, and just to let you know, I did not let you down. I did send Damian a text. I'm waiting for him to get back with me. As soon as he gets back with me, I will let you know, or I'll let you know tomorrow when, and hopefully if you call in.
Oh, I will. Thanks for the update. Thanks, Paul.
All right, buddy.
Okay, yeah. Thanks
a lot.
Thanks, Lou.
Yeah, so I just think these guys are different levels. And it's weird to say that because sometimes when we talk about guys with love of the game, we talk about their selfishness and them and their money. And it's just weird because with Kyrie, I don't think it has anything technically to do with that. But we'll talk about this more as soon as we come back from this break. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense. The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be...
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up." Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Friday Eve. Cigars with The Cave Show is brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Make sure you listen to us every day live at 1 o'clock. If you miss us, no worries. 3 p.m., we have a replay playing over KSR and Casual Sports Radio Network. Download the app from your Apple App Store, or Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. Also, 1 o'clock, like I said, we're live. You can check us out just by simply going to the sportscave.com. Cave is with the K. Hit the listen live button. And there we are, as we are broadcasted live on BTR as well as KSRN. If you go to the sportscave.com, hit the listen live button anytime after 1 o'clock. Not only do you get that show from today, but you get the show, every show that we've done. So pick one that you like, listen to it again, or pick one maybe that you missed. Also on the website, on the left-hand side of the page, we have some of our favorite shows and interviews. So definitely check all that out at the sportscave.com. On the Kerry Lackey line with me right now, I have the one, the only, the man himself, Cole, former digital media director for the Washington football team, as well as you can hear him every week on Inside Sports, and he is a big-time sports personality here in the Phoenix area. So first, Ed, I got to admit, I was dead wrong. I had some talks with people that I know very well I honestly thought James Harden was going to end up in Philadelphia. Some of my sources believe that as well. Philly wouldn't pull the string. Daryl Morey wouldn't pull the string. So a four-team deal happened. There's a whole bunch of paid people that were a whole bunch of places. We could talk about how Indiana and Cleveland. Indiana won out, though, I think, because they got a very good player, Caris LeVert.
Yes, they did.
The focal point of the trade is going to land in Brooklyn. I know Houston got picks. They're in total rebuild now. Brooklyn as James Harden, do you think Brooklyn as constructed with what they gave up is a team that can compete now for a title with James Harden?
Yeah, man, Caris LeVert, I love that kid, and I know you love him too. So I'm sure it was hard for Sean Marks and Steve Nash to part ways with him, but in order to get someone on the level of James Harden, you've got to give up some high-profile talent. And Caris LeVert was coming into his own. He's still a super young talent. But to get James Harden, yes, you've got to give up some stuff to get him, because the Houston Rockets are not going to just say, okay, you can have James, and we don't want any quality players in return. Of course, the Rockets are going to want, you know, a boatload. And they got a potential 8 first-round draft picks in the next 8 years or so, you know, between the Nets and the Cavaliers. So they're going to have a boatload of draft picks. But I think depending on how the big three mesh together, and we know Harden and Durant played together in OKC, and we know Harden played together with Jeff Green. So Jeff Green's on that roster. So he's got some familiarity with the stars on that roster. But can Steve Nash get these guys together and have them play unselfish basketball to the point where they can compete for a championship? Because talent wise, those three guys are three of the best basketball players in the world in professional basketball, and they should be able to compete for a world championship just on that alone. What do you think?
I don't think they are at all. I think the Brooklyn Nets got worse instead of better, and here's why I say that. Yeah, you do have an incredible ball player in James Harden. Let me take this trip a long way around in a short amount of time. You know why? And let me ask you this question. Do you know why you could add a KD to Golden State and it works?
Why?
Because Steph moves without the ball or on ball.
Mm-hmm.
Klay never has the ball in his hands. He's catch and shoot. I mean, that's who he is. Draymond Green
yep.
had the ball most of the time, but he was more of a facilitator. And whoever you had playing the five, they didn't touch the ball anyway. And if you went to their death lineup, Andre Iguodala was more of a roamer and a defender. So no one there was ball dominant. So KD could come in and do his thing because not only is he one of the best players in the NBA, he's one of the most efficient players in the NBA. And if you go back, you remember they used to say, man, why does Russell Westbrook take 23 shots and KD only take 18 when it should be the other way around? Well, KD was getting 35 off 18 shots because he's efficient with what he does. So, but now Kyrie is a ball dominant player. James Harden is a ball, and KD can be both. He can play off the ball like we saw in Golden State, but KD also wants a certain amount of touches at a certain amount at a certain time. So now in the middle of a season, well, I shouldn't say in the middle of a season, but after a season started with no camp, you've got to now find a way to mesh three with two of those stars being very ball dominant. You've got to mesh them together in a way that's not only going to be beneficial for them, but beneficial for everyone else around them. And so which one of them makes the big sacrifice? I remember when KD came to Golden State and they said to Klay, you know, you're going to have to sacrifice your game. And Klay said, well, I'm not sacrificing SHIB. Well, he didn't mean it the way everyone took it because Klay wasn't 18 dribbles in a shot anyway. He was a catch-and-shoot guy. Some night he got 14 shots, some night he got 12, some night he got 15. But what he did is so good and so specific, and he's so good at what he does, his game didn't change. These three, someone's game has to change. Someone has to sacrifice because I'm sure Kyrie and KD aren't going to stand there while James Harden dribbles for 13 seconds, and then decides what he wants to do.
No. Oh, gosh, no.
So, right. So someone has to give up something. Well, you also gave up, you have DeAndre Jordan, but you gave up a young, good defender in Jared Allen. You gave up a very good role player off your bench power in Caris LeVert. Spencer Dinwiddie is done for the year. So now on your bench, you're coming with Jeff Green, who's older. You're coming with a Tyler Johnson, who's your other big man. Who's your defensive anchor now at center when DeAndre Jordan goes out, when you already don't want him to play more than 24 minutes? See, I don't think they necessarily got better. You're now counting on guys like Landry Shamet step up. You know, Jeff Green has to do more. Nicholas Claxton has to do more. Tell me when you know these names. Chris Schizza has to do more. Tyler Johnson has to do more. So for them to be a championship team, you got to have a lot more than just three stars that have to learn how to play together. Personally, I don't like the trade. I like the trade for Houston, because they were in rebuild and they had to get him out of there. I like the trade for Indiana. They got a young Caris LeVert who's going to play well with Sabonis and Warren when he comes back from injury. But I don't like it for Brooklyn. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, we'll see once these guys get together and they get on the court and how this thing works out. It's just a matter of time just to see. Man, if these three can get together and make it work, and Steve Nash can keep those guys together, and that's gonna be a task for Nash to keep all those guys together and try to keep them happy and keep his sanity, because he's dealing with three major personalities right now.
Man, you got Days of Our Lives, the sequel, the spinoff of Brooklyn. And I don't mean that in an insulting way. I just mean you got three headstrong dudes that are very good at what they do. Two of them have won rings. One of them has won multiple rings. One of them has been told he's not a playoff player, and they're all ball dominant. I'm not saying it can't work. I just know all three of them are going to have to sacrifice a little, but somebody's got to sacrifice. See, in Miami, the person that sacrificed was Chris Bosh. There were games he didn't even score in double figures. And in Boston, it was a whole different thing. Kevin Garnett did well being a defensive anchor, and he knew he was going to get his. Ray Allen, by the time he got there, he was more catch and shoot. He wasn't doing the athletic stuff that he was doing in Seattle and Milwaukee. And Paul Pierce had already got into his role, and you had Rondo, a true point guard, pretty much running the ship and keeping everybody happy. So every time you pick these quote-unquote big threes that were successful, you look and you see, okay, well, what guy sacrificed? KD has been – he's led the league in scoring. James Harden has led the league in scoring. Kyrie Irving gets his shots up. Who gives back?
Yes.
Who sacrifices? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm waiting, and I'm going to be interested in seeing. On the Carrie Lackey online, the one only, Ed Cole, former digital media director for the Washington Football Team, Insight Sports, very own. Want to get into the Suns just a little bit before we hit this other break. The other day, Chris Paul paid a big-time compliment to Devin Booker. He said he may be the most talented player that he's ever played with. And this was Book's response. Ed, listen to this.
Yeah, man, that's a big statement, especially how many talented players he's played with. But it's early. You know, we've played 10 games together now, or 11, and, you know, we just have to keep building and keep better and, you know, build something here that's going to stand and play in those type of games and those type of environments that we want to be in and win those games. So that starts now. It starts every day in practice and, you know, earning the respect from, you know, a true general, you know, a true vet, a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, that says a lot. But, you know, I'm motivated by it, and I still have a long ways to go, and, you know, I'm going to keep going.
Just that compliment, obviously, respond to what Book said, but that's a big statement for CP to make, is it not?
Oh, yeah, it is. Because we know CP has played with some greats over the years, and for him to just come in and been here, just had a cup of coffee so far with the Phoenix Suns, and for him to sniff out Devin Booker and his talents and say and just come to his heart of hearts and say, man, this kid is all that. This kid is the real deal. And for him to say that about Devin, that is one of the highest compliments that you could ever get paid if you're a professional athlete that. Like Devin said, a first ballot Hall of Famer would say that about you. And don't you think that will motivate Devin even more? Because he's thinking, oh, my gosh, Chris Paul feels this way about me? Man, that's gonna light a real fire under him once they resume basketball.
Yeah, I agree. And it's too bad they've had their last two games postponed due to the devil. And so, Earl Burnett has said over and over, and we've been with him on his show when he said he wished DeAndre Ayton was a little bit more aggressive. And I'm being polite the way I'm saying it, right? Because I think Earl said it was a little bit more force. And you guys have heard me speak about expectations and how I think DeAndre Ayton is the perfect fit for this team for what they need over and over. But I will say this. I'm going to lean a little bit on the aggressive side in this. I saw him play against Detroit. I saw him kind of pushed around a little bit. I saw him play against Indiana and get pushed around a little bit. Now, I'm not expecting him to be more than what he is in terms of his personality and the way he plays. But I think Diana Taurasi said it.
When you play like punks, you get treated like a punk.
And there are times where I think he has to and push his will on people just a little bit more than what he's doing. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm almost at the point where I want to see him almost just foul somebody hard, knock somebody on their ass when they come through the paint, just so they know that he's a presence down there. I mean, I don't want him to change who he is, but I think he has to be a little bit more physical in what he does.
Yeah, I agree. He can have finesse, and he can be rough and rugged when he needs to be. But you know, a guy that size and with unlimited talent that young man has, you're right. I would like to see him, toughen up a little bit more and go like Earl says, just like you said, just exert his will and force his will on the other opponent. And just take that next step as far as his maturation and his growth and his physical growth and his mental growth. And we know he's only been in the league a few years. And of course, like as you said, it takes time for a young man to develop, especially a guy like that at that position. And he's young. It does take time to develop physically and mentally and emotionally in the game of basketball, because it's not easy to play that game for night after night after night and get banged around all night after night after night and do what he does. But like you said, it's time for him to start bumping heads and start bumping back, as opposed to being the bumpy. He needs to be the bumper.
He needs to knock one on the ass. Let's just call it what it is. When someone comes down the lane, when a mouse mouse mm-hmm. comes down the lane, and I know I'm talking old school basketball. I get that. And I'm not talking about flagrant foul. I'm not talking that. He just has to let someone know that he's there. You know, right now, you know, people appreciate his size, and he can change shots the way he blocks shots from time to time. But he needs to physically let them know, you are not coming down this paint. And if you get down here, not only am I going to block your shot, if I get a foul, instead of getting these dumb fouls, I may have to give you one of these fouls so you know that it's not just going to be that easy.
Yeah, because, of course, Paul, you know, he's been in the league years and years. The tape is out on him. The scouting report is out on DeAndre Ayton and how to affect him and how to take him out of his game. So now I think it's time for him to flip the script and say, okay, yeah, you guys think you know me? Just wait and come on down here in the post and see how much you don't know me. And once he flips the script on that, then people will look at him differently. Players will look at him differently. The organization, the Suns, the players that play alongside him will look at him differently. His coaches will look at him differently. Everybody will look at him differently and say, oh, man, there's something different about DeAndre tonight. Oh, man, it's something different about DeAndre over the past 2 or 3 weeks. As he's upped his game and he's gotten more rough and rugged as opposed to what people are usually used to seeing from him.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, look, we're going to step away for a second. When we come back, we got a lot more to talk about here on the Cave Show with PLRs, with my main man today, the one and only.
Yes, sir.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is is PLR. Make sure you follow us here on the Cave Show on Instagram, the Twitter, and the Facebook at the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. Also, you get us on our website at thesportscave.com. Again, Cave is with a K. And you get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. So, Ed, that comeback music, that was a little Gladys Knight in the Pips. Are you familiar with that? Are you familiar with them?
Yes.
Yeah, just want to make sure.
Pretty much.
Quite every familiar. Now and then. No, yeah. All right, just, you know, I didn't want to bring back something that would throw you off. So, just wanted to double check. They had a couple heaters. You know, maybe somewhere between 2 and 25. Couple of years.
Yeah, just they were hot for a few years. Yeah.
About 30 years or so. They had some heaters in the 30 years span.
Not too long.
A lot of people don't know that cut that play though. That was written by the one and only Curtis Mayfield.
No, I didn't know that.
Yep. He wrote that heater for the movie Claudine. A lot of these young cats, they're not hip on that Claudine with that James Earl Jones and Diane Carroll. They don't know nothing about that. I don't like to just educate you in the sports. I like to educate our listeners with some facts and, you know, some facts in the outside world, too. So if you sit home one night, you ain't got nothing to do, you want to pop on something, a little nostalgia, go on and throw on that Claudine. James Earl Jones and Diane Carroll. Listen to those Gladys Knight pipes while that, you know, while the music does what it does.
Uh-huh.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Ed Cole. So, Urban Meyer is this much or that much or this much closer to being announced as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars if he doesn't flake out, as we know. Urban can flake out at the very end of things. Ed, from your opinion, your thought process, is that a good hire for him and for Jacksonville?
For his first job, I think his first job in the National Football League, yes. I know he's inheriting a lot because that team was horrid this year. Won the first game, lost the remaining 15 games of the season. Offensively, they were a mess. Defensively, they were a mess. It was an absolute debacle in Jacksonville, and I know they couldn't wait to get rid of Doug Marrone any quicker than they got rid of him. And I know they were high on Urban Meyer. They were looking to make a move pretty quickly. And I know the Chargers. There was reports that Urban Meyer was talking to the Chargers potentially about their head coaching situation. But it looks like, all for all intents and purposes, Jacksonville is going to be his destination. And all reports are pointing to Urban Meyer being enamored with Trevor Lawrence. Of course, they have the very first pick in the 2021 NFL draft. And, of course, I would think that they would pick Trevor Lawrence because they need a quarterback. They need someone like Trevor to come down there and resurrect that team and get that fan base excited again for Jacksonville Jaguars football. And having Urban Meyer there would make it exciting. And also having Trevor Lawrence there would completely make it exciting and bring the fan base back and the Jaguars fans will be excited again, but one player does not make a team. He's got a lot more work Urban Meyer does to get that team back to where it was a few years ago. It was 3 years ago they were in the AFC Championship game, and now look at where they are right now, and it's a complete, total rebuild, and Urban Meyer is going to have his hands full should he become the head coach.
Let me ask you a hypothetical question. You work for the Jaguars. You're sitting in the office. Phone rings. You see, it's a Houston area code. And they say to you, hey, check this out. What if we throw Deshaun Watson your way for your number one pick? Would you make that move?
Yes. Absolutely.
Really? Really?
Yes. My gosh. Because, man, either way, you can't lose. If you say no, then you're going to get Trevor Lawrence, and you're going to have a bona fide talent that's going to be your guy for you know, hopefully 8 to 10 years or more, hopefully. But if you can get Deshaun Watson, and this guy is an already established NFL quarterback, and this guy's a winner, and he's one of the best young quarterbacks to do this thing, then if you're Urban Meyer, when you take that position, wouldn't you at least have to kind of consider that call? Or if you're Urban, would you just say, no, that's okay? Or are you just kind of send it to voicemail?
I think it all depends on what Urban wants, because I get the feeling they would say no. And because I think Urban wants the quarterback that he's going to mold from day one.
He's going to groom. Exactly. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas if he gets,
I see,
no matter how good Watson is, even though he's already a proven NFL player, you still have to change something. Whereas with Trevor's coming in fresh. You got a boatload of picks. You can build mm-hmm. your entire team around this guy, and no one will be mad at you. You see what I'm saying? No one will be mad. If you're in New
yes.
York, and say New York had the number one overall pick, and they get their new coach, and their new coach says, no, I like what I see in Sam Darnold. So we're going to trade that number one and parlay that into 4 or 5 other picks, and we're going to build that way. See, I think you could get away with that. I really do. Whereas,
do you think the Jets fan base would let that happen? And
yes.
when they've got Trevor Lawrence right at their fingertips, would they go for Sam
yeah,
Darnold
because,
over Trevor Lawrence? I don't think they would. No.
See, I think
they're
would
done with Sam Darnold, Paul.
But see, they don't have the number one pick. I'm saying if you have the number one pick,
if they had the number one
you
pick,
could
yes.
have, you could have traded that number one pick for 2 more number one picks and a pick next
mm-hmm.
year. You would have mm-hmm. gotten anything you wanted. So the Jets, last time I looked at the Jets, they didn't just need another quarterback. They need an offensive line. Their best running back is 38, so that tells you they need
mm-hmm.
one of those. They don't have any
yes.
difference makers at wide receiver. Their tight end stays hurt, and they need defensive help. Well, so what? Here's the thing in the NFL that I think everyone has to be careful of. If you're a team like the Bears, which we were going to get into, but I don't think we're going to have the time to do it, so I'll push that tragedy on to people tomorrow. But if you're a team like the Bears and you don't have a quarterback at all, then I think it's imperative that you take a quarterback. But if you're a team that has a young quarterback and he's been underdeveloped by a terrible coach, I think it's imperative for you to keep that young guy and flip some of those picks that you could get into a bunch of
mm-hmm.
other picks and build. Because if you go out and get a – let's say you go out and get another quarterback right now and you're the Jets. But you don't do anything about that line, you don't do anything about that running game, and you don't do anything about those wide receivers, what difference does it make? If your car doesn't run and you don't fix the parts of the engine, you don't get a new timer, you don't get a new battery, you don't get a new oil pan, but you paint the car and you put your new seats in and you put a new radio in
right.
and you do all that, what difference did it make? Yeah, the car looks prettier. But it still don't run.
But it's still not going to run.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And I think that's
okay.
where the Jets are. So that's what I'm saying the difference is. Whereas Jacksonville, if you get a new coach and you bring him in, oh, you got pop. You got sizzle.
Yes.
If
true.
Nothing else,
yeah,
you're the talk of the NFL. And you have a bunch of things.
Yes. And you're Urban and you come in, like you said, and you've got a brand new shiny toy that you can show off week after week, and Trevor Lawrence, and of course you know what that means, Paul. You're going to get a lot. You're going to get quite a few more primetime games just because you've got that young man at your quarterback, and you've got that man at the head coaching position. No matter how bad the Jacksonville Jaguars are, people are going to be looking for that football team because they're like, oh my gosh, they know what Trevor did at Clemson. They know he brought them a national championship, and what he brought them near to other championships as well, and going to be looking out for Trevor to see what he can do and if he can bring the Jaguars back to relevance. And, of course, people are going to be looking at at Urban, like, okay, this is Urban's first shot at the NFL. He's been out of the, you know, he's been away from Ohio State for a couple of years. He's been in the booth and doing his TV thing. So can Urban come to the NFL in his first gig and make it work with Jacksonville? There's a lot. That's going to be intriguing down there for the Jaguars.
Who are the coaches that have come to the NFL from college and won a title in the NFL, won a Super Bowl, and won a national championship? Do you know them all?
Is there a list?
It's three. There's three.
Well, I know one is Barry Switzer, but he inherited the Cowboys team from Jimmy Johnson. That's one.
Okay. And there's three of them.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
so you get
the other two. Can you give me a hint?
What? Well, you gave yourself a hint.
Oh, Jimmy Johnson, duh. Jimmy. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Can you give me a hint? Well, you just gave yourself one.
You just gave yourself a hint. Okay. Oh. Mm.
One
more.
The
third one. Oh, my gosh. I'm just trying to – oh, goodness. I'm going to keep myself for not knowing this. Yes.
You want a hint? Okay. Sometimes it's better to just run the ball than to throw it. On the Kerry Lackey Law, I'm the only end goal.
That's a lot of teams, Paul.
Okay. some – let me give you another hint without giving it away. I can't. There's no – so I'll just say it. Sometimes it's easier to just run the ball when you have a big, strong, tough fullback than throwing it from 2 yards out, especially if it's going to get intercepted.
Oh, Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll, there you go. That's the other one.
There you go. Okay.
You talking about
the Malcolm Butler play.
Exactly.
Yes. Mm. Which I'm sure he's still kicking himself in the butt about that one, huh?
They still haven't gotten over that.
No, never will.
They still haven't gotten over that. And my brother, let's step away for a couple seconds, and when we come back, you know what we're going to give him, right?
It's picks time.
You know what's coming. We'll be back with the picks that's going to help. You know what? I'm not even going to say it. Because I'm going to try to help them help themselves, and you're going to do your best to give them a feel-good about themselves. And we're going to do it right here on The Cave Show with PLR.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Hey, this is Kofi, and I don't go a day without listening to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. And that's the one only Ed Cole singing in the background. This is The Cave Show with PLR. You know what?
Paul, I'm glad you played that because that was the theme song for John Thompson's radio show, his intro and outro every single show. So I'm glad you played that because that brought back memories of Coach Thompson in the years I spent with him. I really appreciate you playing that, brother. Seriously.
Well, you know what? And today is the anniversary of him walking off the court and protest to Proposition not 42. This is 42. 42nd year.
Was it 40?
Prop 38.
47?
Was it Prop 30? Yeah, something like that. But where they didn't let kids play. They had to sit out the first year, and he was protesting that. So, see, you didn't know I did my homework like that, did you? So here you go, brother. I bet you didn't know I did my homework like that, did you?
I see you did.
Hey, man. I know a little something about a little something.
Rest in peace to one of the greatest coaches to do it.
Yep. He was just a stand up man that really helped young men blossom into men. So big props to him.
Yes,
I had to get that song.
And Paul, you're talking to one of them.
Yeah. Well, considering the stature of a man that you are, that says an awful lot. Are you ready, my brother?
You know it.
All right, let's get this going.
Oh, no.
It is that time of the week where we get ready to make you feel good, and Cole's going to make you feel good about your picks, and I am going to put some money in your doggone pockets. We had some crazy NFL games last week. Some teams gave it away. Some teams took it away. Some teams, like my stink butt, pissed me off Bears, which I'm not going to get into this week, who cost me a Starbucks to the one and only Damian Adams from The Real Deal. I'm going to send him a bill for that too, by the way. They just laid down like some lazy dogs that they were, but I'll get into that tomorrow with that stupid-ass decision that they made. Oh, I can't burden my man Ed Cole with that today. So on a happier note, we're going to pick these football games. Ed, as you know, picks them for fun, lets you know who he thinks is going to win. I, on the other hand, is trying to put some change in your pocket. I know school is going back in for the spring session. I know your kids need some new shoes. I know they need some new school supplies. I know all that. I am going to help you not only get that, but get that brand new 82-inch flat screen bad boy that came out. So here we go. Let me enrich you. Let Ed make you feel good about your picks. And we're going to start up at Lambeau. It is asinine to say frozen tundra, because tundra is already implied that it's frozen. So I'll just say up in that place in Wisconsin, the Rams go in. They are 6.5-point dog. Ed, who you got?
Jared Goff is going to play. John Wolford is out. Their defense is outstanding. If there's any defense capable of stopping Aaron Rodgers, it's the Rams, but they are not going to do it this weekend. I got Aaron and Davante Adams and Aaron Jones. Those guys are going to find a way to get through that defense and come out victorious. I got the Packers.
I tell you how they're going to find a way to get through that defense. Aaron Rodgers is going to get through that defense. They're going to take eight.
Okay.
Because, one, the best player in the world on defense is banged up. And we all know warm weather teams do not go to cold weather places and play earlier games and do well. They're going to freeze their asses out, take Green Bay, take the 6.5. That is the 100 block of the four. Go with it. Baltimore goes to Buffalo. The second game on Saturday, Buffalo is a 2.5-point favorite. Ed, who you with?
I'm going with my hometown, home state team, the Baltimore Ravens. I think Lamar and his guys are going to go up there and find a way to knock off Josh Allen and the Bills. I got Baltimore winning that game up in Orchard Park.
Ooh, Ed got sensitive on you. See, when you get sensitive, you lose money. I don't give a crap. See, my sensitivity, my Ralph Transvant got me last week. I ain't going to let it get y'all this week. Buffalo is a 2.5-point favorite. They should be a 5-point favorite. I know Lamar is a bad boy. I get that. I know he got the monkey off his back last week. But you know what? Buffalo got the monkey off their back too. 25 years in between wins, and they're not done yet. That, not only are they going to cover that 2.5, Diggs is going to snap on those cornerbacks. I know Buffalo can play a little defense, but they're not going to play defense this week. Give me Buffalo. Give me the 2.5. Let's jump to Sunday, and we'll start with the marquee game first. Tampa Bay goes to New Orleans. New Orleans is a 3.5-point favorite. Ed, who you with?
New Orleans is 3.5-point favorites?
3 points. 3 points even.
3 points. I think it will be that tight. I will take New Orleans in the points. I think that that Breeze has got his guys together clearly, Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, and those three. They've only played – they played 70 snaps before last weekend's game against your Bears, and they look like they were in complete sync. And if Drew hits receivers like he did on Sunday, he hit 10 different receivers. If Tampa can't stop that, then they're going to be in for a long day. But I think it could be a shootout, but I will take New Orleans in the points in that victory.
The reason I went that game first is because that's the upset pick for me. Give me Tampa.
Ooh.
I don't think Tom Brady's lost 3 games of Parcheesi in a row. I don't think he's going to lose to a team 3 times in a row. So because of that, based on that, give me Tom Brady and the win. I don't think the DBs can cover all those wide receivers, and Drew Brees still hasn't proven to me that he could throw the ball more than 10 yards down the field on consecutive plays. I like Tampa. Take those points. Take them outright to win, and you'll have some money. And then the last game, Cleveland pulled it off in Pittsburgh. They're going to KC to play the alien. They're a 10-point dog. Who you with?
I think Cleveland will cover, Paul, but you're right. They are playing a guy that is just not of this world. He is inhuman. Like you said, he's from one of the other planets in the solar system. Cleveland is not going to beat Patrick Mahomes and his boys at Arrowhead Stadium. No, I got KC, but I think Cleveland will cover the 10.
Cleveland has a better chance winning a snowball fight in Tempe, Arizona in the summertime.
Oh,
they don't stand a chance at all. Not only are they going to lose, Patrick Mahomes, that alien, is tired of hearing, well, you didn't have as good of a season as you thought. Well, you didn't do what you used to do. Well, you know what he's going to do?
Yes, he did.
He's going to do what he used to do. Not only are they going to come, they could have given this a 20-point spread, and I would have told you to run to your bookie. I mean, I would have told you to gamble in states where gamble is 100% legal. Take Kansas City. Take your points. You have your winners. Go get that TV. Go get those kids those shoes and re-up those supplies. And where can they get you at?
On Inside Sports Talk every week, we do it up with PLR and Joanna Rosalie. Catch me here on the Sports Cave on Twitter at EdCole43, Instagram at EdwardCole301.
And, of course, you can get us at Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook. Cave is with the K. The website is at sportscave.com. Again, Cave is with a K. PLR on sports on the Twitter. Check me out. I do more than talk about sports. And Ed, on our way out the door, this is really quick. The fight between Sergey Kovalev and I forget who he's fighting is now off. He's tested positive for synthetic testosterone. He's on the needle.
Whoa.
So he will not be fighting this week.
That's
Yep. If that's what you were looking forward to, you're going to miss it. Man, brother, I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming on. This was fun.
Thank you, bro.
As usual. Can't wait till we do this again next time. The stakes are getting higher and higher. Everyone, thank you for joining us today. All calls made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Until tomorrow, everyone be safe. Put your mask on. Don't listen to these idiots. Temps, bring us home.